youthrandomonium.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, which airs the second Friday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21, of any style. And check our website, kboo.fm/theunderground, or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Combined Culture Radio. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Combined Culture Radio. Tonight, we are airing episode 5 from last year, so this would be Jalen's first episode hosted by himself. Again, this is Combined Culture Radio up next. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City, a monthly beat and rap night at the Liquor Store in Portland. On Friday, October 26th, Thirsty City hosts Los Angeles-based Mike Slott and Jansport, along with sets by Omari Jazz, Rap Class, Bravo Domo, and Slurgeon. KBOO's Northern Draw will also be DJing. Again, that's Thirsty City at the Liquor Store, 3341 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Art of Fun with Impact on Saturday, November 3rd, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Lewis and Clark College in Portland. Art-a-thon with Impact is a 12-hour creativity and wellness festival. Young people are invited to participate in groups. In 8 hours, each group will create an original artwork that is connected to themes of mental health and wellness. A festival from 6 until 9 showcases all performances and artwork open for all to attend. Again, that's the Art-a-thon with Impact on Saturday, November 3rd, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College, 0615 Southwest Palatine Hill Road in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
On your mark. Get set.
Yeah, rolling, yeah, rolling, yeah, rolling, 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 ain't slept in weeks. Oh, I swear every time I get on a microphone, they say I'm the preacher. Yeah, nothing is worth celebrating, yeah, so there's no sand on this beach. Record labels and all's radio stations, I'm coming with the door with the C4 ready to breeze. Cause I got dreams, dreams that's too big for my head. They sleeping on me, they sleep. It's only satisfaction for my bed, and money never sleeps, so time is a waste. And I'm dream chasing, swear I got the best talent, but I can't seem to get over the hump, so I'm steady pacing. Break a leg, and I suffer a mirror, call me human right now, swear too polite. Name me Casa Nasa Casa, I'm attacking on the Titan. You ain't never been in line, no knees. Anime references? Cause you think it's for nerds, you a pessimist, check this. You lucky that you're getting slapped, drop a bars all over this. Go ahead and grab a flag, I don't spend my money wisely, stating facts. I'ma check human centipede, cause they coming in front to back, yeah. Running back, running back, whoa, running back, running back, yeah. It's the Tecmo Bowl and I'm the best in this game, feeling like Bojack. College came around, he was strapped to a T-O-G's, he even had a ski mask on. Put the gun to my head, demanding I put the money in his palm. Then go sit me down and try to teach him about some goddamn graphs. Hold up, why am I learning this? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to earn my money back. Like, damn, don't back down and never will. Squared up in the ring and I'm trained to kill. That's two rights and one fight. Knock out like Holyfield. Can't be scared. Duh, duh, bing, bing. Showtime at the Apollo. Apollo Cruz, Apollo Creed. Don't follow us on the news. I follow me. I don't sound like your favorite local rapper. I am so appalled at me. Trying to not let my ego get as tall as trees. Music keep dropping like rainfall on leaves. Now follow my lead. Whatever you dropping, fake like falling weave.
still bob and weave. Shorty got a bob with the weave. Dress shake, let it go, forgot to breathe. Catch a break, let it flow, and watch him feed. Nothing but rap snacks from his backpack. Double dare 2000, trying to figure out where the cash at.
Hey, you know what, folks? We're going to see you next time on Double Dare 2000. You know what? If you got the time, we got the slide. We do.
Welcome to Combined Culture Radio, y'all. I'm your substitute host, Jalen Super Ultra Extra, and this is your Super Ultra Extra special until Tevin gets back next week. What you just heard right there was some Double Dare 2000 by your boy Covey, a local Portland artist. Also in the booth with us, we got a few other Portland artists. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, it's me, Blossom.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Fode.
On the Titan, you ain't never been in line, no knees. Anime references? Cause you think it's for nerds, you a pessimist. Check this, you lucky that you didn't slap. Drop a bars all over this, go ahead and grab a flag. I don't spend my money, wisely stating facts. Come and check, team in the P, cause they coming in front to back, front to back. Yeah, running back, running back. Whoa, running back, running back. Yeah, it's a Tecmo Bowl, and I'm the best in this game, feeling like Bojack. College came around, he was strapped to a T.O.G.'s. He even had a ski mask on.
What?
Put the gun to my head, demanding I put the money in his palm. Yeah, then go sit me down and try to teach him about some goddamn graphs. Hold up, why am I learning this? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to earn my money back. Like, damn, don't back down and never will. Squared up in the ring and I'm trained to kill. That's two rights in one fight, knock out like Holyfield. Can't be scared, duh, duh, bing, bing. Showtime at the Apollo, Apollo Cruise, Apollo Creed. Don't follow us on the news, I follow me. I don't sound like your favorite local rapper, I am so appalled at me. Trying to not let my ego get as tall as trees. Music keep dropping like rainfall on leaves. Now follow my lead, whatever you dropping, fake like falling weave. I still bob and weave. Shorty got a bob with the weave. Dress shake, let it go, forgot to breathe. Catch a break, let it flow, and watch him feed. Nothing but rap snacks from his backpack. Double dare 2000, trying to figure out where the cash at.
Hey, you know what, folks? We're gonna see you next time on Double Dare 2000. You know what? If you got the time, we got the slide. We do.
Welcome to Combined Culture Radio, y'all. I'm your substitute host, Jalen Super Ultra Extra, and this is your Super Ultra Extra special until Tevin gets back next week. What you just heard right there was some Double Dare 2000 by your boy Covey, a local Portland artist. Also in the booth with us, we got a few other Portland artists. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, it's me, Blossom.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Fode.
Hey, what's up? It's Kobe.
I already introduced you, Kobe. You don't got it. I didn't tell you to talk. No, okay. Yeah, so today's episode, we're going to focus on the music scene in Portland and what it's like.
Just be alone.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em.
I'm says she like the club. I'm land. Young Cardi glove. Design is on. Call it dirty lunch. I didn't want your Cardi. Young Cardi. Yeah. Hey, Young Cardi. Young Cardi. What? Young Cardi.
What's good, everybody? This is Combined Culture Radio. I am your host, Tevin. I am here with a handful of guests. Can everybody please just introduce yourselves real quick to the listeners?
I'm your co-host, Jalen.
This is Victor.
Anthony.
Kayla.
Kenny.
And today we are going to talk about our guest. It's a special privilege today because we have a young artisan here by the name of Victor, and we have a future activist and with Kayla in here as well, and an employee of Nike as well with Anthony. And they're just going to break down their stories to us and really how they're helping broaden the community as well. But today, let's start it off with some current events. So what do you guys think about this whole situation that's going on with Kyrie Irving saying that he wants to get traded from the Cavaliers? Which I feel is good because the Warriors are going to, you know, repeat again as champs. So what you guys think about that?
Time out. You realize we're in Portland, right?
Yeah, I realize we're in Portland.
Not your place, but you realize we're in Portland, right?
Mm-hmm. I realize we're in Portland.
It doesn't have to do with anything.
With him saying that, people... Mm-hmm. Okay, actually, that's actually not bad because then people are going to get mad.
Nah, because you guys suck.
Dang.
Ooh. See, I'm not even a Trailblazer fan, though.
Why you
got to
come at us like that, bro?
Well, okay, on topic, though. I did a lot of research before we got here.
You always doing research, bro.
You already know. All right, so I wrote all this stuff down. Okay, so the first sources said that he wanted to leave because he wanted to find a bigger role, and I thought that was very confusing. So did, you know, some other people like Chauncey Billups, who was in line to almost be the Cavaliers GM. And Kyrie Irving actually shot the 6th most shots in the game per game in the league. So that was one thing. So it's trying to figure out, like, what role do you really want? Like, only 5 guys in the out of 450 shot more shots than you. The Cavs are 4-23 since 2014 without LeBron. And Cavs with Kyrie on and LeBron off is, like, minus 120, like, plus minus. So him saying that kind of really doesn't make too much sense to me. But, you know, I guess if he really wants to be that, he can be that.
I'm just saying, just get ready because next year the Warriors are about to win again. So just be ready.
I personally feel like this Warriors talk has nothing to do with Kyrie being traded. First off, Kyrie doesn't need a bigger role. I feel like as the point guard that he is, knowing that he's not a floor general point guard, a la Chris Paul or like say Steve Nash, something like that, he's not that type of point guard. So he doesn't help his team, as Kenny mentioned. He's plus minus. He's negative 120. That doesn't help his team whatsoever. So he doesn't really need a bigger role. He's better off as a supporting role. And, I mean, he's been to the finals 3 years in a row. Why would you want to leave that situation and go to another team and probably make, like, the semifinals in the playoffs? Like, that doesn't make sense. And then the teams that he's rumored to want to go to are mostly in the Western Conference. And then you got to think about it. The Western Conference is a tougher conference than the Eastern Conference. So his chances of making the finals are diminished rather than being on a team like the Cavs where they're more than likely to reach the finals or at least the conference finals. I think it's just dumb that he wants to leave. And it's disrespectful to LeBron, who's pretty much helped him since he's been back in Cleveland, and he's like put the team on his back to make sure that they reach the mountaintop every single time.
I don't care what y'all say. Kyrie is just trying to become the man on his team. LeBron is just selfish, you know.
Okay, I'm not getting in this conversation. Yeah.
One more thing I just wanted to add about Kyrie. He's actually given up a lot of money. Apparently, he'd be eligible for a $200 million Supermax if he stayed with Cleveland, and he's given up a lot of money because the new team won't
LeBron
have
LeBron is it. Leaving, bro. LeBron is leaving next year.
I'm talking about Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, the Cavs aren't going to be anything without LeBron.
Correct.
So he might as well jump shit now.
That's also a very
exactly.
good point.
So nobody knows LeBron. LeBron isn't coming back after next season. So why stay there and just have the team in turmoil? You know what I mean?
LeBron got 10 years left.
In L.A., where he's going to be playing with Lonzo.
And that is one thing, LeBron has been betrayed by the Cavs organization. And this is kind of like the second time just because they already – the way that he was disrespected once he left Cleveland for Miami, that was really disrespectful. Or from like the organization standpoint, when like they talk trash about LeBron leaving and everything, but when they fired Dan Gilbert, the GM, that blindsided LeBron because Dan Gilbert was trying to bring in additional help for LeBron, such as Paul George or another star, or Jimmy Butler, I think it was as well. So I could see LeBron leaving, but
no, LeBron is leaving.
But where would he really go though?
L.A.
Why would LeBron go to LA?
Because
I feel like that makes
Lonzo.
No sense.
Because he wants to play with Lonzo.
No.
Man, this Warrior fan over here got some pipe dreams for LeBron going to LA. Man,
like
I don't want to see no LeBron.
He sounds
going to LA.
Like every Laker fan right now who thinks that the Lakers will have like LeBron, Chris Paul, Melo, like all the superstars on one team next year. Because it never happens, and it probably will never. It won't happen at all.
It's happened before, though. Except for it failed miserably in 2012.
There you go. With Dwight Howard and Steve Nash. And
he's leaving.
Terrible triple.
He's leaving.
Trio, whatever.
He's leaving.
I don't think he's leaving, though. Yeah. I think this Kyrie situation does determine if he does leave or not. If everything is cool by time training camp starts and Kyrie stays, they just brought in Derrick Rose. I mean, that wasn't a bad deal because they only brought him in for 1 year, $2 million. That's not bad at all, especially because he can play backup to Kyrie. And will probably give them more of a punch than Deron Williams, who played terrible. So if like they have this situation together, they had a terrible offseason. They didn't get any good role players to help support their scoring, which they need like immensely. But if that does happen, then sorry, I just think I take basketball seriously. So, I mean, I look at it all from an analyst standpoint.
Says the dude who can't even hoop.
I'm terrible at basketball. I'm terrible at basketball, which is why I just started to analyze the sport and treat it like I'm a coach or a general manager.
Well,
that's the way you got to look at it.
Thank you, Victor, for your input.
I just had to throw it.
Let's move on to our next topic,
please.
Which is Justin Bieber canceling his tour for To Find Christ. Kayla, what do you think about that?
I think that it's irrelevant and it's distracting people from what's really going on in the world. I also think basketball is irrelevant.
Can you tell us what's really going on in the world? What's some issues that you want to bring up and talk about?
Well, I think today Donald Trump is making or like trying to have a ban on people who identify as transgender in the military. And I think that's really exclusive to a whole entire group of people. And I don't think that that's really fair. And I don't get what that has to do with them wanting to serve the country.
Gentlemen, what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, obviously it's messed up. Doesn't surprise me. This is kind of everything I expected from the campaign. Nothing we can really do about it now, but start working for a change in the future. But yeah, we just got to take the punches as they come. Like, we can't stop what he's doing now. But yeah, it's pretty messed up. Doesn't really make sense. There's no logic in banning people just because they identify as a different gender or with no gender at all. So,
I absolutely agree. I think it's straight up, it's just cruel. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like if you want to fight for your country, you should be able to fight for your country. You know? No matter who you are.
Exactly. And that's the thing that gets back to what we talked about on our last episode is what can we do in our own community to help improve it? You know what I mean? So it's really, a lot of those people are going to, you know, not have jobs. and a lot of those people have been scarred, you know what I mean, for life. So mentally as well and physically. So now they have to come back to the States without a job and a ton of mental issues. So I mean, shoot, I don't know what Combined Culture can do to help some of those people out or to take a stance on it, but I'll definitely talk with the crew and see what we can do. And speaking of transgender and rights, Tyler the Creator, he just dropped his latest album, and a lot of people were, you know, having issues with him coming out as allegedly coming out as bisexual. And the album
is not the same thing as transgender.
I know it's not, but I was just I was just on the topic. But the album does slap. And I wanted to ask you guys, do you guys look at Tyler any differently?
It doesn't matter. Like, it don't matter.
Well, I mean,
that's the same thing with Frank Ocean. Like, I didn't stop listening to Frank Ocean's music when he came out.
Exactly.
It's just, you know, sometimes you just gotta watch the lyrics and make sure you're not, like, saying some stuff that you don't necessarily, like, identify with, you know? But, I mean, it's cool. That's their preference. He still makes good music. I'm gonna listen to it. I don't care what he does on his free time and who he does it with. I mean, unless it's like terrible, like he's killing people, like that's bad. But like,
something like R. Kelly,
or yeah, or like holding people captive, or you know, giving people herpes or something like that. And that's like, that's bad. But
man,
you know,
he's getting specific now.
You know, that was just what came off the top of my head. It wasn't specific.
No, I agree. I mean, I definitely think that it doesn't matter. Like, you know, in this day and age, it really doesn't matter. He makes great music.
And also, I mean, just with his fan base, I feel like his target audience is okay with that kind of stuff anyway. Like,
yeah, without a doubt.
That dude's a weirdo already.
I don't think he's that weird.
Bro, he's weird.
He's not that
weird. He's funny weird, but he's weird. He's not normal.
I think he's a genius.
Yeah, he is a genius. Geniuses can be weird too.
That's true. Kanye West.
Yep. That dude, yeah. Yep. Agreed.
A lot of our traditional geniuses that we know of all have a lot of idiosyncrasies. I mean, almost all of them I can think of, actually. Like, even Einstein. Einstein was very peculiar about, like, his habits during the day and about how he approached things. Some people can be borderline OCD on how they prepare for things and how they approach their work. So being weird and being a genius sometimes goes hand in hand.
That is very true.
So we just have to be conscious of that before we, you know, start slamming people.
Nah, for real. And I think that if you guys ever do take an actual listen to the album, it's sonically probably the best sounding album of the year behind Vince Staples.
I haven't listened all the way through, but did you see the video for Who Dat Boy?
Yeah, it was
that beautiful. Video was weird.
It was not weird.
Bro, How was it weird? Describe it for
okay,
us.
Okay, so
yeah, come on.
First
now.
Of all, this dude is making a bomb in his house. I was having a hard time. I only watched it one time through, but I was having a hard time relating with the lyrics. But he's making a bomb in his house. The bomb blows up in his face. His face is all jacked up and bloody. So he runs down the street to ASAP Rocky's house, who is a basement surgeon, apparently, and literally puts a face on this dude's face. It's a white face, too, that he sewed onto this man's face. And he's running from the police at the same time. And they're just rapping all while doing this, too. So that's how it was weird to me.
It was.
I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying it was weird.
It was different.
It was very different.
It was very different.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that Tyler, like, none of his videos have any type of correlation to his lyrics at all. Like, he's one of those people that goes for shock value instantly, and he executes it very well. And also, he directs most of his own videos, too. That's another reason why you just see, like, something just completely off the wall, because it's all his ideas, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of videos, Victor, today we met and we talked about concepting for your coconut oil shawty video. Can you break down to us just creatively what that means to you as an artist and what this song means to you? And then I'll have Kayla touch on just what does coconut oil mean to her?
Well, the thing about it is that I've...
Shout out to beautiful black women, by the way, who use coconut oil.
Okay. Think about it. I've never done an official video, I did a video actually in high school, and Jalen was the one who shot the video.
I did.
But that was for a cypher for Black History Month.
Is that the one that's famous for saying Nino on autotune?
No, it's not. That was like, we won't talk about that. So yeah, with that video, thank you. With that video, Coconut Oil Shawty, I feel like, for one, I wrote this song and produced the beat. It was just for, I wanted to focus more on the women who, one, were underrepresented, and also for women who use coconut oil. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that use it, men and women, but, you know, there were just certain focal points I want to touch on that I feel like haven't been touched on, especially from a rapper standpoint, mm-hmm. possibly from like an R&B artist, but you know, you don't see rappers that will cover these types of topics. So that's one reason why I wrote the song. And then when it came to the video, I knew I had to do a video for this song because, for one, this is my most popular song yet.
I agree.
And it needs a video. I mean, that when, like, from the writer's standpoint, we talked about this earlier, how painting a picture with the lyrics, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's very vivid imagery within the lyrics, and you can see like some of these things playing out in your head while you're listening to the song. So it's like, why not have a visual for that, you know, to make that all come into fruition. So wait, am I talking about the concepts? No, I can't talk about it. Yeah, I can't give it away. It's very complicated.
But to the listeners out there, please expect that video by the end of August. We're working on it now.
I won't put the video out in August.
When you gonna put it out?
I'll put it out maybe end of September.
Yeah. Expect that video at the end of September then.
No, I'm joking.
Coconut oil is about to be selling off this
show. I know,
exactly.
Right?
I expect to get a sponsorship from this.
let's
some
move.
Type of agency calling my line.
Let's move to the young lady. Can you tell us what coconut oil means to you, Kayla?
Nothing super spectacular. I think that it's like, kind of trying to be attributed to Black culture, but I know many people that use coconut oil for cooking, and not just for their skin or their hair. So, I mean, I think it's just becoming like an epidemic via the internet and social media. And like, I think it's cool, and I think I really like the song. I've listened to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that's awesome, and I think that you are representing, like, you know, women of color and, you know, underrepresented populations, but I just feel like I don't really have like a personal connection to coconut oil. Like, honestly, it dries my hair out. So I don't know.
Same. Yeah, no,
I tried it,
it dried my hair out too, and I, especially when I had like really thick hair, when my hair was longer, it didn't really help my hair. But
I didn't like the smell either, honestly.
Oh, I love it. I actually love the smell because it reminds me of like cinnamon. Yeah, I don't know.
How does coconut oil remind you of cinnamon?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Bro,
your nose is broken.
But
yeah.
What? No. No, you should try the kind that I have and you'll see. but that was another thing. The thing is I did write this song for all women of color. It wasn't specifically towards like Black people. So thank you for saying that, because I do need to like mention it's not just for Black people, it's, you know, women of color. That's all types of races, you know. So yeah, not specifically Black people. I feel like that's when it becomes too either controversial or too inclusive, and that's not what I want to aim for, you know. Like, that's just not what I want to do.
Sounds good. Let's take a quick music break and we'll be right back to you.
Let me cut on it.
I need a souffle. Don't flee from me. Ice cream, chocolate. Go Dave, go Dave, go Dave.
Turn up the volume.
This feel like hallelujah. Cue the choir too. I'm up to Holyoke, fry like El Polio. I got a chicken coop, dip out interior barbecue. I'm fly why she want the cockatoo. And that's on my bird like a big my guy. Standing over how they greet my guy. Straight out the mud like a Kino light. Never had time for the tea, the kind on the fish like vines. Wanna camouflage, niggas hotel lobbying. Smelling like loud around Republicans. Like why they no niggas working obvious. Just tell her, smiles and muttering. If you ain't blood to me, you bothering. And if you ain't cuss to me, you cluttering. And I've been really trying to be more tolerant, more positive. Probably need to switch up countries, but you know I'm here. I might go be smoke, cop a couple seats out to Heathrow. How the shortest with the shit, ain't no shortage on the stick. Lil' boo, I know you gon'
let me cut on it.
I need a souffle, don't flee from me. Ice cream, chocolate, go Dave.
Bing, how the spotlight beam on your green light, you better go. Go. Chain, how that money sheen ring when your feet be payment to the gold. Don't got no time for the delay. Hopping around in the sack race. Bro, keep the cane like Lorenz Tay. He went over low, hold on the overwise. Nigga at his lowest, gave me word to wise. Told me none of this matter unless family blessed. Watch out these niggas that beat on their chest. They flex through their stress, I guess. I've been raw, it's genetic, it's my dinner. Watching your wind up on you, trying to fit up a venom. With you acting innocent, bet you're interested. Stretch it like a limo, the memo. Never switch to slow the tempo. Zero gang with me, a fever, I go. I'm cool on all the friendly shit. It's just business straight across 12:30 o'clock.
Thousand miles and I want a spaceship. Maybe we can go spur.
I ain't never been a Cuban, but I go with you, baby.
Got that back in the glove I can pull out of your Milky Way.
And it be like an empanada. Breaded up like an empanada. She shakes me, no, I love you, nada. Girl, they nada. You giving me Erica vibes. But I do wanna tell you, Shanta. You made the shimba feel like summer.
A-N-I-T-A-I-N-E-E-T-A-G-E-R, my baby.
And we're back here at Combined Culture Radio, and that was Anita by Smino, which is a summertime anthem, according to Jalen. Pretty smooth song, though. So, we have another guest in here by the name of Anthony, and he recently came up here to Oregon from the Bay Area. I've been knowing him for quite a while. We went to rival high schools, and he recently just got a job at Nike, which is the world headquarters here in Oregon, which is pretty big, especially, you know, seeing from the Bay Area, not so many people work at Nike from the Bay, so it's always good to see another person come up here and, you know, just do it. So, Anthony, can you talk to us just kind of about, I guess, your journey at UCLA? I guess this dude ran track, you know, but I'll still dust him on the track. Can you talk to us just about your journey from UCLA and traveling to Italy and just kind of your experiences, and now you're at Nike. So can you talk to us real quick?
For sure. Yeah, this is Ant, like Tevin said. Originally from just outside Oakland, California. I was running track at UCLA. I was doing middle distance, which Tevin definitely can't do. He maybe got me in a sprint, but
yeah,
800 meters up, I don't know about that, man.
I can't do that, dog. I can't do that.
So it was good. I mean, I was training with actually some Olympic athletes while I was down there because my coach was the American record holder. So had a lot of great experiences running there. And, you know, at the time, I was actually a huge Nike fan. So in high school, I was always wearing the swoosh, and that was my thing. And I got down to UCLA, and everything was Adidas, which was cool. Because, you know, how can you turn down free stuff, right?
That's true.
But it was a switch, and I was happy just to be there and be on a team. That was good. But it was a big athlete bubble. You know, when you get into college as big as UCLA, everyone's doing their own thing. And I'm sure most of y'all who went to Oregon kind of know this as well.
That's true.
When you have so many people, it's really easy to get caught up in what your clique is doing and not see things outside of that. So I took some time after I graduated to just invest in myself and see the world. You know, I always loved traveling and I wanted to go abroad. So while everyone else is getting jobs, I'm spending my fifth year using that financial aid and studying the world. So I did a program in China, really good time out there. Actually, that's a lie. It was horrible. It was it was dirty. There was tons of people. I was in Shanghai, which had 25 million in one city. So very uncomfortable, but that's exactly why I went. You know, sometimes you gotta just put yourself out there. When I got home, Christmas of 2015, I went out to Italy. My family's Italian, and I always wanted to learn the language. So I was studying in a small town. All my classes were in Italian, so it was a very immersive program.
Oh, and speaking of Italian, those of you who don't know, can you break down how different American Italian food is to actual Italian food? You actually broke down to me. I forgot what it was. I think it was chicken Alfredo. Oh, their meat is not served in pasta. Is that true? Isn't that correct?
Not completely. I mean, it's not as big as it is out here. Obviously, like, we don't call, like, for example, the city that I studied in was called Bologna, and everyone calls it bologna, but that's not what they call it out in Italy. It's called mortadella. So those kind of small things go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think a lot of people, or at least Americans that go out to Italy, they probably wouldn't like Italian food because our palate here is a lot more combined flavors and lots of things on a pizza. Like, if you went out to Italy and asked for pineapple on your pizza, they'd look at you crazy.
Do they have pepperoni pizza, though?
All right, I got to debunk the pepperoni mix. So right now, that from the Italian language, the word peperone means green pepper.
Oh, shh.
So it doesn't mean the little type of meat that we call pepperoni. So that just goes to show, like, the equivalent is called salame. So it's very different, but, you know, the flavor's great. So recommend everyone to go out there and try the real stuff for yourself.
Definitely, man. My favorite Italian dish, which me and my girl Kayla just went to Olive Garden last week, is chicken Alfredo.
Chicken Alfredo. I don't know if I can call that Italian, brother.
Hey, well, you can't pass up those breadsticks at Olive Garden.
American dish, bro.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to call that an American restaurant, my man.
That's definitely an American restaurant.
Bro, I don't care. To me, it's Italian food.
You can't just say what? Yeah. So is Chipotle.
Chipotle is what? It's not Mexican food? No, it's not. Yo, I know that.
Mexican spots have a salad bar.
Yeah,
like Chipotle's got no bar with the spicy sauce.
It's Americanized Mexican food. Baja, we can call it that.
Exactly, Baja Fresh ain't
wait, no. It has a salad bar, as you just mentioned.
No, what I'm talking is they got like the actual Mexican salsa.
But I know you
got
the free
chips, the lime.
But I know you're not gonna pass up a burrito bowl though.
I will, in its heartbeat. You're talking about this, man. Yeah, we getting so sidetracked, man.
Y'all tripping, but go back, Anthony.
Yeah. So, you know, foods are always great tangents, but yeah, I had a great time out there. And when I was finishing up my program, rewind to June of 2016, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I still had some money left over, so I decided to buy myself a backpacking bag. And like I said, I love traveling the world, so I just did a 6-month backpacking trip just to go by myself and kind of learn about other people and just see how I would survive traveling by myself for half a year.
What's the three biggest things you learned traveling the world?
Three biggest things I'd say is, number one, for sure, you don't know how like different things are until you actually go out there and see it. A lot of times Americans go abroad and we expect people to live like us. We expect people to speak English and understand us and eat our food and give us directions. And the world don't work like that, you know?
That's true.
English is just one language of hundreds of languages. Our way of doing things is just one way of doing things. So that was the number one thing. Two is that it's a big place. Most people who go abroad for the first time, they get what's known as the travel bug. So you go abroad and, or you know, you eat something for the first time and you want it more. So it really gets addicting and you get hooked on the opportunities to see and explore different things. And three, just learning from people, man. Everyone has their own story. I think when we're, you know, we can fly to New York for 5 hours, we can go up to Canada, and they would still be speaking the same language. Whereas a lot of places within a similar country, like India or even in Europe, you take a 30-minute trip, people, you can't even understand them, right? Mm. So really understanding how diverse the world really is and getting to step outside your comfort zone and your own knowledge can really open up your mind. I think it's a good thing.
So I got a quick question for you, Anthony. So you're saying, you know, you were at UCLA, felt like you're kind of trapped in your bubble. What actually compelled you to actually venture out on your own? Was it like something internal within yourself, or was it more external, like someone motivated you to do that and get up off your feet?
Sure. Yeah, I think I've always been really passionate about connecting with other people and seeing the world. And I was born, I'm a first generation American, so both of my parents were immigrants from two very different parts of the world. Father coming from Italy and mom coming from Guyana. No, that's not Ghana in Africa. It's Guyana in the West Indies, South America to be specific. So I think it's just been a part of who I was growing up. And I think there was this one trip I did with just me and my little sister named Celeste. I was 13, she was 12. I was about to go into high school, and my family just sent us abroad to Italy by ourselves.
Oh, dang.
And when you're like that age, you feel like a king, you know, going on an airplane with no parents. You feel like you're the man. So I think just doing things like that from a young age really got me passionate about putting myself out there and connecting with people different from me. And so, yeah, I've always made that a big part of my life. No matter what I'm doing, it's got to be an integral part of what I'm doing.
That's really cool, man. Yeah, because a lot of people don't have that drive to actually go out there and do that. And then also you have to be brave to be able to put yourself out there like that. So
that's true.
Big ups to you, man.
Appreciate that, though.
Were you able to see kind of like this is Kenny, by the way. Were you able to see kind of like how Americans are perceived and kind of like what parts of culture kind of we borrowed from other people and kind of like how they borrowed from us as well?
Absolutely. I think the United States is a very particular, distinct country. I think a lot of the times, to be brutally honest, man, sometimes I was embarrassed being abroad, especially with this current administration that we have, just because there's so many things that reflect negatively as a part of being American. Matter of fact, there's this thing that's well known actually abroad. It's called the ugly American. And what it is, it's a persona of someone who goes abroad. And just like I mentioned earlier, they expect people to conform to them and do as I do, since I'm the dominant culture. I'm the best, coming from the best country in the world. And, you know, I am a strong believer that everyone's got a story. Everyone comes from a different place. And so you got to be able to step outside that and really realize, like, it's much bigger than, even though we do have a dominant culture that's really penetrated the whole world, that doesn't mean it's better.
Dang.
True.
That is very true.
Wait, I have one question for you. I don't know if you really talked about it, but how did you feel like being a man of color? Or I don't really know what you identify as, so I don't want to like label you, but I just know I went to Mexico and like I'm black and it was really different.
Sure. I get this question a lot actually, like, how did you have the courage, the bravery to go out by yourself and take that risk with just a backpack? And, you know, I think people put up a lot of barriers for who you should be, what you should do. And there's a lot of fear out there. I mean, as you guys can see in what all the rhetoric that's going on right now in the world of who people are and who should be let into a country, who shouldn't be. I think it's easy for me to speak because I'm a 6-foot darker male. I mean, there's a lot of places I could go by myself and people might think either I'm a local or maybe not to mess with me, right? Versus if I was a 5-foot more vulnerable, potentially looking female, right? I think the biggest thing is just being smart in the environment you're in and really being a student of the place. Because I think at this point, danger can be anywhere, whether you're in Pakistan or whether you're in New York City or whether you're in London or Canada. So really just being smart about your environment and learning from the people around you can really teach you a lot. But personally, I mean, I try not to try and stick to labels too much. At the end of the day, we're all people. Sure, we all have different histories. But yeah, I just try and enjoy it pretty much.
What's the best food that you had while you were abroad?
Best food.
I thought
I was super hungry right now.
I know it's that dinner hour.
You're not helping, bro. Like, I'm hungry too.
best food, that's very difficult. I would have to say I'm a big sushi fan. The sushi I had in Tokyo was freshly fished, and I went to this this tuna auction market at like 4 a.m.
Wow.
And they were auctioning off the tuna, and right after I watched that little auction, I went to this market called the Tsukiji Fish Market, and people start lining up there at like 5 a.m. to get this thing. And it's expensive. I mean, that was one of my more expensive meals, which I wasn't too happy about. But that was probably the best fish I ever had. And the sushi there was just crazy good.
Did they have wasabi sauce?
Man, I think they might have. They definitely had soy. I think they had some wasabi, yeah. But I'm not too big on the spice, so I kind of cooled that out.
I feel that, bro.
Yeah.
So that concludes our talk with Anthony. We will now cut to a music break. We'll be right back.
Devin, why do you talk so much?
LA, that's me. You wanna meet somebody, ask me. You wanna see somebody, ask me. Hey, I tell her let's get in the back seat. Yo crew. Last week. My mad deep. My bitch. Bad piece. Yo, bitch. Got bad feet. I pray to God. I never fly. I get along. A better spot. Another roll. A better watch. I get a plane. Then a yacht. And my haters. Let them watch. Line them up. Give them shot. Don't save them. Just let them drop. They said I never make it to the top.
Never make it.
But we ball. Take shots. I want another. It don't stop. Your big mouth. A big block. I let you ball. Cop. We ball. Bust a shot. 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 Bust a shot.
We ball. Bust a shot. Okay, I'm riding through the murk. My tires in reverse. I'm lost, but I know this foreign navigation works. I made a ride on King. I seen a couple skirts. I said, then, but dust them sandals off first. Okay, I'm doing 105 on 105. Witnesses that said they seen a ball of fire. Trying to president that jive while you talking jive. All these presidents won't be surprised if one came alive. I only play us and pimps. You a created player like Sims. My cup be filled up to the brim. Yo, send her makeup in my rims. You just target practice. Everybody say they seen it, but nobody know what happened. What happened yesterday, baby girl? Fix your mood. Cause I don't like my head with some attitude. And I don't like your legs, that's they at the roof. Pedicure to what the ceiling, Molly's in the cabinet too. Pop, popping, rather casual. Section 80 made me whole, so this is what I had to do. Bow, I bow, I
phone, $1 million missed calls. I hit the bank, withdrawals. I make her plank with no draws. Motherf, hot ball.
And the bottom line is, I'm talking right now. Let me tell you something. If you like talking to me on this show, you'll let me talk to all of you. The bottom line for these people right here is, if you're a man, get a trauma. You take life, the ups and downs. If you're a real man, you never go down, you just stay up. That's why I'm the world champion. That's why this sport don't cost $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that cost, I'd be ashamed to wear it. That's why I'm wearing leather shoes and roll like butts, and I got a limousine sitting out there a mile long with 25 women just dying for me to go. Woo! Because I'm the world champion, sucker. No one's gonna take it from me unless it's done in the ring. But next time you have an opportunity, talk to your company and look who built the building you guys off of.
Dom Kennedy, also known as Dom K. Dom K has the best summertime music, and I don't think anybody can disagree with that. So, what you just heard was We Ball off the Yellow album by Dom K and Kendrick Lamar. Now, the Yellow album is very special to me because that was the album that came out the summer after I graduated high school, and that was the summer that I got my license. So you know your boy was riding around listening to nothing but Dom K with the windows down.
You really painted a picture for us right
now. Why are you talking like a robot? I just need to know. I have to know.
I'm just letting you guys know and letting our listeners know that Dom K has a special place in my memory because that was the first summer that I had where I was actually riding around in my car with the AC on blast and the windows down.
You had AC?
Bro, yeah, we had the Jetta.
I didn't have AC.
That's a struggle.
AC on blast and windows down. That sounds kind of counterintuitive right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, bro? It was hot in California.
Yeah, but you had the windows down with the AC. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, that's besides the point.
You got to make sure people hear the Dom K.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. I feel that.
You know what I mean? Oh, my God. Hey.
Just for the record, From the West Side Would Love To is his best work by far. Yellow album was kind of underwhelming to me.
Actually, no, Get Home Safely was his best work.
Jalen Ladd agrees with Victor. So.
Well,
Get Home
Safely. All right, yeah, it might be that case. I just like From the West Side Would Love To the most because it has very special, you know, timing for me.
Okay, can you break down that timing for you? West Side Would Love To, that was high school year for us, wasn't it?
It was, but that's actually not what my favorite summer was. So if you want to talk about summertime, my favorite summertime memory is actually 2 summers ago. I was working an engineering internship at the time down near Oregon State where I graduated from. And what was cool about that is that every day, no matter how hot it was, I'd be biking to work every single day because I didn't have a car yet. So, you know, I'm over there, you know, huffing and puffing about 3 miles each way.
Sweating,
like in work clothes. But I knew at the end of that, I was going to try to get a car. And at the end of the summer, I was able to obtain that. And also I was playing a lot of basketball and it was just a good summer for me overall because I was making money and I was able to have a lot of fun too. So favorite summertime right there. And I was always playing something that was real summery, although I don't think it was Dom K that summer.
You know, I'd have to say, this is Jalen, by the way, my favorite summer might honestly be this summer, especially since your boy's going to be in Hawaii about 24 hours from now. Yep, I'm taking off tomorrow morning. I will be gone on an island. But no, I would say like my favorite summer memories has to go back to childhood. I don't remember exactly which.
Bro, you was just saying that this is your favorite summer.
I said my favorite childhood memories, like my favorite summer memories.
All right, go ahead.
Would be like when I was a kid. And we had like a neighborhood squad. And our daily routine was we just wake up, go to the pool, go swimming, go around the neighborhood, wreak havoc,
break into people's yards and steal their berries and plums. This one lady hated us.
This is how you know we're in Oregon when they say they stole berries and plums.
Bro, we had a cherry tree that was like our little kicking spot. We go round up fruit around the neighborhood, and then we go up to the cherry tree because no one owned it. It was just on the street. Go up there, chow down on some fruit, you know, get our nutrients.
See, we didn't chow down on fruit. We just waited till the ice cream man came on the block.
Yeah, see, you can't be waiting for the ice cream man. Also, ice cream's diabetic.
Wait, what?
That made no sense.
It causes diabetes if you have too much of it. And, you know, we wanted to have healthy, balanced diets as children.
So you can't get enough berries, right?
You can.
That's that. Because
sometimes
Oregon
you get
stuff.
Too many cherries and, you know, you might be in the bathroom for the rest of this.
Oh,
the rest
got
of
you.
That day, you know what I'm saying? But we had a balanced diet. Yeah, definitely shout out to antioxidants. But no, like after that, though, moving on, you know, we get our nutrients in, and then, you know, we just kick it on the front stoop, just kicking it there, telling stories, talking about that one time we got in a fight with that one kid because he said the N-word. And then...
Yeah. That's real.
And then when the sun fell, oh my God, we played dark tag every day. Every day we played dark tag. And that was the most lit thing ever because, like, we would, like, have, like, a 3-block radius that you could hide in. And it really, like, built us up as athletes because you had to be able to run and duck and cover and dodge. And you know, this past weekend those skills didn't transfer over very well because I did take an L this weekend.
Explain to the listeners what dark tag is for those people who don't know.
Oh, dark tag, by the way. So you know, a lot of people who I've met who I've told a story to, they're like, only know hide and go seek and they only know tag. And I'm like, why would you only play one of those two when you can combine them both? You could hide, and then once when you get found, you run, and they got to catch you.
I didn't even know they called that dark tag.
We called it dark tag, bro. We made the name up for it. We used to also play drive-by, and so, like, when Teresa would drive down the car, we'd act like it was a drive-by, and you had to run for cover. And if you were standing out in the yard, then, like, you got shot, technically, yeah, and then you lost, like, so.
Right, all right.
Bro, so I scraped up my knee and, like, elbows, like, just being too extra on that stuff.
So can you describe how you also did the same thing to yourself this past weekend? We want to go back to that L.
Okay, so.
Hold the L.
This past weekend was your boy Victor's birthday party. Happy birthday, Victor. My main man right here, just turned 22. So we went over there to celebrate, had a nice little shindig.
And
in
the
his
mosquitoes
backyard.
Were out in full force.
Mosquitoes were out. My legs are still itching.
Yeah, same.
But yeah, at the end of the night, you know, we're cooling down, about to head home. 2 in the morning. And then I don't know how the topic came up, but someone was like, let's do some foot races.
Okay, so
yeah, Victor was
real quick. Background: this is Victor. So the foot race started because my brother-in-law, he thought that he could beat me in a race, and his birthday was earlier this month, and we were supposed to race on the night of his birthday.
Victor, that didn't happen. Slow, by the way.
I'm actually a very good athlete, unlike Jalen. I'm pretty fast. I'm surprised, actually. I still have my speed.
It don't make no sense.
I don't know how I'm still fast. So my brother-in-law decided to race me, and everybody was about to leave, so I'm like, okay, you know, everybody needs to stay and witness this foot race so, you know, I can show everybody that I can still beat him, because he was a collegiate football athlete, you know, and he thinks that he still has that speed, but no, he's a dad now and all that other stuff, and he can't really keep up with me. So we raced. And then Jalen thought it would be a good idea.
No, I didn't say nothing. No, that's a lie. I didn't say nothing. I was my own business. Someone was like, I'm not going to lie, low-key in my head, I was like, I hope someone asked me to race. Because, like, I was like, I kind of want to race Victor. But I was like, nah, like, I'm going to go home. And then someone's like, yo, you should race Victor. And I was like, okay. And then the other homie, Tyler, hopped in. And, like, we've all been friends since third grade. So this is an epic showdown. Okay,
the old man.
How long is this race?
The old man.
It's like a 50 meter dash.
50
bro.
Meters.
It's
so
quick.
It's a solid, like,
yeah. And let me mind uphill. Just it's uphill. It's a slightly uphill slope.
Ooh.
I was slightly overly intoxicated.
I was too.
No, you weren't hung. You weren't hung over the next day.
No, look,
you didn't drink as much.
True.
As I did.
Okay, but no, that's because I sobered. But I just had
one
shot.
One shot
before the race.
You guys probably guess what happened at this point. I took off running. There's a video of it. Something went wrong. My feet. They malfunctioned. Out of foot malfunction.
Oh, we got.
what?
Yeah, out of foot malfunction, and they just kind of did a little noodle twist thing, like, and then I fell, scraped up my knee, injured my shoulder.
Bro, I played it off like I was cool. I wasn't cool, bro. Like, I was hurting. Like, when I got my house, I was limping. I was like, dang. I was like, I need some ice.
And you know your mom was like, what happened?
My mom was not home, and my mom did not ask what happened because she didn't see anything. I told her what happened and showed her the video.
You are tuned to KBOO Portland.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I heard was a song outside my window. Help me, I think I'm falling in love again. California, coming home blue.
Hi, I'm Ed Melnick, your host for the singer-songwriter edition of the Monday Sampler. Joni Mitchell, winner of 9 Grammy Awards, is one of the most revered singer-songwriters in the last 50 years. In celebration of Joni Mitchell's 75th birthday, I've put together a special program featuring some of her known and not-so-well-known music. I hope you'll join me Monday, November 5th, from 2 to 4. Let's celebrate Joni's birthday together.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Here to Stay, an artist book fair the weekend of November 2nd through 4th at Matter in Portland. Here to Stay is a celebration of publication as art. The opening will be Friday from 5 to 9, and weekend events include tea tasting, book fair, art exhibition, and more. Participants include Just Seeds Artist Cooperative, Signal Fire, Eberhardt Press, Works Progress Agency, and many other artists, writers, and activists. Again, that's Here to Stay, an artist book fair the weekend of November 2nd through 4th at Matter, 811 East Burnside Street, number 124 in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.